We begin the current daf and stuff. Ksubas daf samach tal. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and the previous Mishnah, which spoke about the woman that's mired this albala. She rebels to her husband, which we explain either that means tashmash hamita or means the malacha that she's obligated to do for her husband. And specifically regarding a brisa that we discussed, all the different types of women that fit into this category. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings that Amar Rav Tovi bar Kisna Amar Shmuel. We write a letter of that a woman is being that there's rebelliousness regarding a woman that's engaged. But we do not write a letter of rebelliousness regarding a woman that's anticipating Yibum. When her husband died without any children, she's waiting for Yibum. When there's a refusal of doing the obligations of husband to wife, it's only written by an engaged woman, but not by a Shemeres Yav. Now, on that, the Gemara's Meisvei, we learned, however, in the previous daf, we quoted this brisum, quoted twice, that says, Achas le'arusa v'nesua. This halacha of meredes, of that we diminish our ksuba 7 dinarim or 7 tarpeikin every week, or as the Gemara concluded from the Rabbi Seinun in the Begamer, that after 4 weeks we liquidate our whole ksuba, doesn't make a difference if she's engaged or married. Afila nida, even if she's a menstruating woman. Afila chayla, even if she's ill. Afila shemeres yavim, and even if she's a shemeres yavim, which we proved from the category of chayla, that obviously we told man in this brisa regarding the unwillingness to engage in tashmash hamita. Number one thing we see is that the halacha of merida, rebelliousness, applies to shemeres yavim. So why is Shmuel saying that the halacha of writing the ger is married only applies to arusa and not by shemeres yavim? So I think my answer is loikash. It's not a difficulty. Khan, the brisa that says it applies even to shemeres yavim, is talking about shetava hu, where he wants tashmish, and she's being my redis, she's refusing. Then we will write the geris merit even by shemeres yavim. Khan, Shmuel that's talking about that we do not write it, is shetava hi, where she wants tashmish, and he's refusing. Then we don't write it a geris merit. As the Amr of Tachlivir Barvimi, Amr Shmuel, as it was said in the name of Shmuel, the Tavahu, when he petitions for Tashmish, then this kakan light. Then we listen to him. And therefore, if she doesn't submit herself, so then we write a geris merit. Tavahi, but if the Yavama, the Shemeres Yavama, she wants Tashmish, ain't this kakan light. Then we don't pay attention to her. In other words, to write in the geris merit to increase her kasuba for her Yavam's unwillingness to go ahead and consummate the relationship with Tashmish. Now, the Gemara later on will explain the reason for this discrepancy, because the Yavama doesn't have the mitzvah of Pirvigivria. So the fact that he doesn't want to have Tashmish with her is not as bad as she, her not willing to have Tashmish with him. So therefore, there's that discrepancy by Shemeres Yavam, that if he wants and she refuses, we write a Geres Merit, we diminish. But when she wants and he doesn't want, then we do not write to increase her Ksuba. Now, another Gemara asks, B'mayu kimta l'hadish Shmuel, how did you explain to resolve this contradiction, to explain the case of Shmuel that we do not write the Geres Merit by the case of Shemeres Yavam? You're saying it's b'shetava hi, when she wants and he's refusing. So another Gemara asks, Hi Kaisum Nigeris Merit Ala Rusa? The words that were used by Shmuel was that we write in Nigeris Merit on Anarusa. But Li Arusa Mibarli, that should have said for the Arusa. We write in Nigeris Merit on her husband who refuses to go ahead and give her what she needs. So why is it saying Ala Rusa, which sounds like on her, as if she's the problem that's getting the penalty? It's the other way around if you're saying in Shmuel. It's that for the Arusa against her husband. Now the Gemara says, Olekash, that's not a difficulty. Tanei La Rusa, the way you should read the statement of Shmuel was not Ala Rusa, but rather La Rusa, for her, meaning against her, the one that she's engaged to, which is the equivalent of Shemeres Yavim, where we do not write it for her. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Maishna Shemeres Yavim Deloi. Okay, so you're explaining that it's when she's claiming. That's what Shmuel's talking about. When she wants, so if she's Narusa, she has a right, and if he's not giving her, then he gets penalties, which increase her ksuba. But Shemeres Yavim not. Now, why by Shemeres Yavim would you say that we did not write a geres merit? Because Darmina Lazil, because we tell her, go away, lemifkadita, you're not commanded on the mitzvah pir v'rivri, as the Gemara clarifies this in Masechet Yavam, Staf Samachim Abeis. And then we're not going to increase your ksuba because of your Yavim's unwillingness to go ahead and engage in Tashmash Hamita. But then, so why don't we say the same thing by an engaged woman? Zilay mefkadato, go away, you're not commanded. Why should we increase her ksuba because her husband's unwillingness to engage in tashmish amita? She doesn't have the mitzvah, per riva, just like you're saying for the shemer siyava. So Ella, rather, what would you have to say? Bebo machmas taina. The reason why by the anarusa, where we do award her an increase in her ksuba for her husband's refusal to go ahead and give her tashmish amita, is because when she comes with a claim. And she says, although I don't have the mitzvah per riva, but I definitely deserve to have children. Why? She says, I need a stick for my hand. In other words, I need, when I'm going to be older, that a child should go ahead and support me that I could lean on when I'm old. And a spade for my burial. In other words, I need a child, someone to be there when I pass away to bury me. So that's a legitimate claim that an arusa could have. Therefore, I demand that this tashmish amita, and if not, increase the ksuba. So if that's the question, then if that's the case, then hachinami shemeres yavim beva machmas taina. So then the same thing should apply by the shemeres yavim. Why doesn't she have a claim against the yavim saying, I demand tashmish amita because I also want to have a child, and there's such a deserving claim because of having someone there when you're old and gray, and if not, they should increase the ksuba just like the case of the arusa. So the Gemara concludes, Ella, rather, Idiva Idisha Tavahu. Not like the way we tried attempting the resolution that Shmuel was talking about that she's being Teveya and he's refusing. Rather, both Shmuel and the Brayis are talking about that he's desiring the Tashmish and she's refusing. But like Kashan, it's still not a difficulty. Because Khan Lachlitz. The case of the Brayisa is talking about that he demands from her, from the Shemeres Yavam, that he wants to do Chalitza with her. She doesn't want chalitza, and therefore she's meredes, she's rebelling. She only wants yibum. So in such a case, when she's refusing to allow him to do chalitza with her, so then we write an egeris merit on her, and we keep on diminishing her ksuba, which is anyways from the previous husband. But the kan liyavim, Shmuel that says that when he's claiming from her, which is yibum for the shemeres yavam, and she refuses, then we do not write a egeris merit on the yavam. Why? Damer pedas amer b'yechanan. As he says clearly, Tava Lachlitz, if he's demanding Chalitza, then this Kakanai. Then we go ahead and we pay attention to him. And he's deserving for this claim of Chalitza. If she doesn't agree to that, then as the Braisa says, we will penalize her and keep on diminishing Ksuba. Tava Yabim, but if he demands he wants Yibum from the Shemeres Yabim, and she doesn't, she says, I don't want to be married to this brother-in-law of mine, then ain't this Kakanai, then that's like what Shmuel said, that we do not pay attention to him. And as the Gemara will shortly explain, the reason being is because his intention to marry his sister-in-law is not for the purpose solely of the mitzvah, which is like the Mishnah Achrayin, and therefore we tell him, go ahead, marry someone else. If she doesn't want to go ahead with this, we're not going to diminish her ksuba for that. And that's what the case what Shmuel was talking about. And the Gemara clarifies and asks, Mishnah liyam deloy, why is it that when he wants Yibum to consummate the relationship with the Shemeres Yavim, that we say that no, we don't diminish her ksuba, we don't write a geris merit, as Shmuel said, because you tell him, go ahead, what's your problem? Marry a different woman. Now, if that's a legitimate claim, and that's why we don't diminish her ksuba when she refuses, then lachleitz nami neimalei, then even by chalitza, which is the case purportedly of the Braisa, when he's demanding that he wants to do chalitza with her, they should also tell him, go ahead and marry a different woman. Although you're bound to her with Zika, it doesn't make a difference. You could have more than one wife. So what's your problem? Why over there, if she refuses to do chalitza, do we diminish her ksuba, as the Braisa says? Now, Ella, rather, the Amma would have to say, is because he says, no, kibin dagida bi, since she's attached to me, if you're not letting me force her to do chalitza and keep on diminishing her ksuba, since she's attached to me with Zika, they're not going to give me anyone else. No other woman's going to want to marry me because they'll think that I might go ahead and consummate the relationship with the Shemeres Yavam who refuses for me to sever those ties by doing Chalitza. But then the Gemara asks, also when he demands Yibum that he doesn't want to do Chalitza but rather Bia, he should be able to make the same claim. Since she's attached to me, and she's refusing to do the yibum I want to do with her, so then still people will not be go ahead and give them their daughters, and therefore we should be zakuk to the man in this case, and therefore the halacha of even Shmuel's case, like the Bryce's case, should be that we do write a geris marriage, and we should diminish her ksuba. So again, we're back to the question, what's the difference between the Bryce and Shmuel if he's demanding yibum or chalitza? It doesn't make a difference. No one's going to want to give them their daughters until he has severed those ties And therefore, either Yibum or Chalitza has the same problem. Either I want to consummate or get rid of her, but just being in this state, no one's going to want to give me as another wife. So the Gemara concludes, both Shmuel and the Brayas are talking about that he's demanding, he wants to do Yibum with the Shemeres Yav. And she's refusing, she's Meredes. V'lay Kasha, and there's no difficulty. Khan, the Brayas that says that you write in the Geris merit on the woman and you keep on diminishing her Ksuba, even when he's claiming he wants to do Yibum with her and she's refusing, say, I don't want to marry this man, this brother-in-law. That's Kemishna Rishayna. That's like the first version of the Halacha, which initially, as the Gemara will shortly quote, that was preferable to do Yibum. And therefore, he has a right to demand that. And if she's refusing, so then she's a Meredes and we diminish her Ksuba. Khan, the Halacha of Shmuel, when he's demanding Yibum and he doesn't want to settle for Chalitza, that we don't pay attention to him and we do not diminish her Ksuba, is Kemishna Achrin is like the later Halacha, which then said that we don't want a person to do Yibum. And therefore, if he's demanding it, we don't pay attention to him to diminish her Ksuba. It's not like learn the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mitzvah Yibum kedemis lemitzvah Chalitza. Originally, the Mitzvah Yibum was preferable before the Mitzvah Chalitza, as it's understandable from the Psukim. And that's the objective of the Mitzvah. However, that was only Berishayna. That was only originally. Shei Miskavnin L'shul Mitzvah, where their intention were purely for the sake of the Mitzvah of marrying the dead brother's wife to fulfill the Mitzvah of the Torah. But Achshav Shei Miskavnin L'shul Mitzvah, now that the intentions are not purely for the sake of the Mitzvah, they marry them for their beauty or for other different things. So Amru Mitzvah Chalitza Kedemis Mitzvah. So they said that the Mitzvah Chalitza is preferred before the Mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore, when they're demanding Chalitza, then we'll listen to him. But when he's demanding Yibum, then, as Shmuel concludes, which is like the Mishnah Achrayna, then we won't pay attention to him, and therefore we're not going to diminish her Ksuba. So although the Braisa says that was like the Mishnah Rishayna, but Shmuel's like the Mishnah Achrayna, where we do not go ahead and diminish her Ksuba. And then we resume discussing the Mishnah that said, Admasai hu paiches, up until how much do we diminish the money of the woman when she's a meredes, when she refuses to give the husband what he deserves. So on that, there was machlekes, either up until the end of her ksuba, or even more than that, even all the other assets that she has. And how is that diminished? So there was an opinion of 7 dinarin. And then there was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that there was 7 tarpeikin. So they're going to ask, my tarpeikin, what is this currency of tarpeikin that we diminish their 7 of them for the woman every week, and we add 3 when the husband is married every single week to the wife? Some Rav Sheshi says it's a reference to Astira. The Gemara says, Bekama Astira, how much is this coin of Astira? That's Palga de Zuz, it's a half a Zuz, which Rashi explains, it's the Tsuri Zuz, which is from Tyre, which is 6 ma of Kesef, which comes out that a Tarpoik are three ma'is. As the Gemara says, Tanam Hach is similar in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shleisha Tarpeikin, when the husband is Meirid, as we said in the Mishnah, that's 3 Tarpeikin, which the Braisa clarifies, how much is that? Shein Tesha Moin, which are 9 Moin, as we said, because there's 3 Mo for every Tarpeik, which comes out to Mo V'Chetzi L'Chol Yom, which is, if you take 9 over the week, it's 1.5 Mo every single day for the 6 days of the week. Now, Shabbos, as the Gemara will shortly explain, we do not give the woman to increase her ksuba when the husband is married, when he doesn't want to give her the tashmash that she deserves. Now, the Gemara asks, Amli Reb Chiya Bar Yisub L'Shmuel, Maishno, what's the difference that Ihu, by regarding him, the Avinin Leid Shabbos, will we award him even on Shabbos, meaning when she's meredes, when she refuses to give him tashmash? Where there we said that we penalize her every single week 7 tarpeikim, which means we give the husband every day a tarpeig. He gets awarded that he doesn't have to, he keeps on diminishing what he has to give her. But what's the difference? Why by her, as we just explained before, the reason why he has to give her 3 tarpeikim, which is 9 ma a week, which comes at a ma and a half every single day, but that's only for 6 days. 6 times 1.5 is going to come out to 9. Why is it that for Shabbos, do we not award her an increase in her ksuba? And yet by him, we do give him by diminishing her ksuba even on Shabbos. So Gemara explains because ihi, regarding her, meaning when she's meredes, the mifches kopoches, where we diminish her ksuba, loy michzikes schar Shabbos, this that the husband gains, doesn't look like as if he's getting paid on Shabbos, which is a there's a halacha of Schar Shabbos that someone can't get paid for a service they're providing on Shabbos because of a decree that this might bring to Mekech HaMemker, which is business dealings and rentals, which are forbidden to be done on Shabbos. So because of that, the rabbi said that even Schar Shabbos, something that's, you're not doing business dealings on Shabbos, but let's say one is doing a job on Shabbos, which doesn't do any malacha, you can't get paid just for Shabbos. So when he's diminishing the ksuba, he's not getting anything, he's just having to pay less. So it doesn't have the appearance of Schar Shabbos. So that's not a problem. So we can diminish our ksuba on Shabbos. But ihu, when he's married, the meisiv become meisiv, that we then increase onto her ksuba, then we continue on to Amud Beis, mechzik is Schar Shabbos, that looks like we're paying someone, that she's getting money for something that's on Shabbos, which again is forbidden Schar Shabbos because of Mekech HaMemker, and therefore we do not increase her ksuba, but yes, we would diminish her ksuba when she's meredith. Now the Gemara asks, Omli Reb Chir Bar Yisrael Lishmoy, says, but ma bein married l'meredith? Why is there a difference between when he's married to when she's meredith? That why when he's married, do we only give her a half of a tarpak every single day? But when she's meredith, we give him a whole tarpak. So Amalei, the Gemara says that he said to him, "Save alam and mishuk shal zaynus. Go out and learn from the marketplace of the harlots. Mi seicheres mi? Who hires who? It's the man that desires tashmish more than the woman, and therefore he's hiring the women. You don't find women hiring men, and therefore obviously that the pain of the male by not having tashmish is greater than the females, and therefore we give her a bigger penalty than him when he refuses to have tashmish with her." Another reason for this difference is that ze yitzri mibachutz, the male has his inclination, this desire for tashmish on the outside, and that is when he has an erection, it's visible and it's embarrassing for him because he's not able to have his needs met with tashmish. Vizul yitzri mibifnim, but the woman has her inclination inside. There's nothing that's visible on the outside, and therefore, since his embarrassment is greater, therefore we penalize her more, and that's why for her we penalize our tarpag. But him, we only penalize him a half. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of these Mishnayos of this parak regarding the obligations that a man has to the wife and the wife has to the husband. So the Mishnah tells us that Hamashres Ishtei Al Dei Shalish, that if someone provides for his wife through a third party, and that is he appoints somewhere for her to be fed, but he's not busy with her, she's not living with him in the same house, that they're eating from this in the same kitchen. So the halacha is Lo Yifches Lo, he cannot give her less per week than the following amount of food. Mishnei kaven chitin, from 2 kaven of wheat, oi ma'arba kaven sa'urin, or from 4 kaven of barley. Now, Amr Bisi says, le'pasik la sa'urin, the only one that's set for her barley, is El Rabbi Shmuel, is only Rabbi Shmuel, shall you samach le'edem, because he is near to Edom, which the Gemara is going to explain, what do you mean, doesn't everyone eat barley? Why would only be Rabbi Shmuel who requires a husband to provide a wife with barley? And the Mishnah continues, V'noisen l'chatzi kav kitnis, here says to give her a half a kav is amount of measurement of beans, and v'chatzi loig shem, and a half a loig of oil, which that's measurements for a liquid, v'kav gregris, and a kav of dried figs, oi, or something similar to that is mana dvela, a mana of figs which were pressed into this round cake, and they were sold by weight. Now, Ve'imeinlo, if he doesn't have any of these items, so Paisik Lumasin prays Makamachos, so he has to set for her other fruits from somewhere else that, you know, will be the equivalent of what he has to give her. So that's regarding food. Moreover, Nisan Lamita has to give her a bed, Mapitz, which is softer than Machzeles, which he also has to give her Umachzeles. These are two different types of mats, one softer than the other. For Nisan Lakipa, he has to give her one kerchief, Laresha, for her head, which is per year, and v'chagur l'masneh, a belt to girdle herself around her waist, u'min olam imoy l'moyd, and every single yom tov he has to go ahead and buy her new shoes. Mekelim shel chamishim zuz mishal nashan, he has to give her clothing, tools for a 50 zuz for the year. Now, moreover, ve'ein nisn lo loish chadoshim b'meisachama, he doesn't give her new clothing in the summer months, because it's very heavy and very hot for someone to wear new clothing in the summer months, but they're good in the winter. But neither can they give her worn-out clothing for the winter. So Ella, rather, what he does is Nisan lo kelim, he gives her new clothing in the winter. So that's good because they're heavy and they'll keep her warm. And she covers herself. She wears those clothing, which get worn out by the time it's summertime, in the summer when it's good to go ahead and have thinner clothing. And the worn out clothing, even when he buys her new clothing, which is every year, she gets to keep the worn out clothing. The Gemara is explaining exactly what does she need worn out clothing for. Moreover, he has to give her some pocket change. He has to give her a maw of kesef for her needs every single week for small little things that she needs. And she eats with him every Friday night, which that's the night of her ayna, and therefore they eat together. Now, however, if he does not provide her with this maw of kesef every single week for the odds and ends that she needs, then her earnings she gets to keep. Which actually we explained on Daf Nun Testament Aleph, that's a reference to Meiser Maisidaim, the excess of a Maisidaim. Because the parallel of the Meiser Maisidaim of the excess is to the Mo Kesef, whereas actually regarding the Maisidaim, that parallels the Mezainus which he is giving her. Now, Umahi Oisela, what does she give to her? What does she give to him? Meaning, what are her earnings that is the equivalent of Mezainus? Whereas whatever is more than that is considered Maisim Maisidim, which then that becomes the equivalent of the Ma'a Kesef. That's Mishkol Chomish Shlom Shesi B'Yehuda. That's 5 slums worth of warp thread in Yehuda, which specifically warp because that's very difficult to thread together, which is double the amount of Arev, of weft thread. Shein Eser Slom B'Galil, which comes out to 10 Slom in the Galil, because the weight of Yehuda, of the coins, was double that of the Galil. Oy Mishkal Eser Slom Erev B'Yehuda, or 10 Slom worth of weft thread in Yehuda, Shein Eser Slom B'Galil, which again is going to be 20 Slom in the Galil. Now, V'im Hoysa Manika, but if this wife was nursing, then Peich Slom Maisideh, then we diminish the amount of what's equivalent for the mezainis of her requirement to give him from her earnings. And actually we increase the food that he has to give her. So that increases and that goes down. Now that the Mishnah concludes this whole discussion. When do we say these minimum requirements from the husband to the wife? That's even a pauper in the Jewish people. But an honorable person, someone that has the means and the necessities for it, then it goes according to the honor of the persons involved, and then the minimum would be increased. Now the Gemara wonders regarding this, that the Mishnah opened up the first requirement that the husband has to the wife when he's doing it through a third party, and therefore they're not just living together, but rather she's in a separate place, then there's certain minimums that he has to give her, are 2 kaven of chitin for the week. So the Gemara says, Mani Masnitin, who is that Mishnah going like? As the Gemara says, Lo Reb Yechim Ebereika, V'lo Reb Shimon. Now, what's this? That's not like, Lo Mishnah Masech, this Erevin. The Mishnah there says, V'kamash Yurei. There the Mishnah is a Masech, this Erevin. It's talking about what is the measurement of an Erev Tchumen, that is, if someone wants to go an additional 2,000 Amos beyond their Tchum Shabbos. So they put 2 meals worth of food to then say that that's as if where we really live, and then the locus of where we live is not here in the city, but rather by the Erev Tchumen, where you can go 2,000 Amos to the city, and then another 2,000 Amos further than where they would normally be able to go. So how much is that measurement of that's necessary for the Erev Tchumen? So the Mishnah says, has to be a meal's worth of 2 meals for every single person. So if there's 5 people going out, you would have to have 10 meals worth of food over there. That's as if everyone lives there. Now, however, there's a machlokes is exactly what is considered a mazon of 2 sudas. So the first opinion over there is mezayna l'chayil b'loy l'shabbos de remeir. Meir holds that what type of a meal? He says a weekday meal, 2 weekday meals, and not Shabbos meals. Rabbi Yehuda, he says l'shabbos b'loy l'chayil, 2 Shabbos meals and not weekday meals. And the Mishnah says over there b'zev is a meskaven l'hakol. Actually, both of them are trying to give lenient interpretations for this minimum requirement of the erev tchumen. Now the reason is because Reb Meir used to eat more bread on Shabbos than during the weekday, because he would eat a lot of bread because he had all the dips and all the food, so he'd be eating more challah on Shabbos. So that's why he said that you only have to give 2 meals worth of weekday meals, which is when he ate less bread, which would be a lower requirement. Now whereas Reb Yehuda, he ate more bread during the weekday than on Shabbos, because on Shabbos he ate all the other delicacies, he ate meat and whatnot. So therefore, he wanted that it should be the Shabbos meals where you have to give less bread. So that's the opinions of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, however, it's the last two opinions that's going to be the focus of our Gemara. Rabbi Yechiman Bereka, he says that it doesn't depend on your weekday meal, your Shabbos meal. It's not relative, but rather he gives a set amount. He says that it's a an Erev for every single person. It's a kikar, it's a loaf of bread, which actually the loaf of bread has two meals worth. That means to say, because in a regular meal, a person eats a half a loaf. We're talking about a loaf of bread, halakuach bepunyan, that's purchased with a coin called a punyan. Now, that is when a person could purchase me'arba soyin from four saw of grain. He could purchase that with lisela, with a sela. Now, that loaf of bread then will be two meals worth. Now, the Gemara assumes that calculation comes out to two meals worth, which is a kikar, which a loaf of bread is a half of a kaf. Now, the reason is Rashi goes through the calculations is because a sela, which is, we're saying, what purchases four soyin, so this, you have to calculate the monetary part, which is the sela, and the part of the object that's being bought, which is the grain. So a sela is 48 punyan, as Rashi illustrates this, because 6 maw of kesef is a dinner, and a maw are 2 punyan, so it comes out that there's 12 punyans for every dinner, and 4 dinner is a sela. So it comes out that in a sela, there's going to be 48 punyan. Now, the 4 sign that can be purchased with this are 24 kaven, which comes out that these 4 sarin are 48 half a kaven. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yechanan, that a 48th, which is a half of a kav, which is 12 eggs, is going to be the punyan, which is because that's also a 48th of the sela. So the 48th will then purchase the 48th, which is again the punyan buying this kikar, which is a half a kav, which are these two meals worth. That's Rabbi Yechanan Bereka's opinion of what is considered the Erev Tchumen that's necessary for each person. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, he says that two meals worth that's necessary, again, which everyone agrees is a necessity for an Erev Tchumen, the question is just what is two meals? Shtei yadois lekikar, actually two-thirds of a loaf of bread. Now, what type of a loaf are we talking about? Misholish kikaris lekav. When 3 loaves equal 1 kav, which means to say that a loaf is a third of a kav. Now it comes out that a kav itself is 9 meals, because you have 3 meals in every loaf, and that's why Erev Tchumen, which only needs 2 meals, only needs 2/3 of the loaf, and you have 3 loaves for the kav. Again, so it comes out that a full loaf is a third of a kav, and 2/3 are the 2 meals that's necessary for the Erev Tchumen. Now, continuing on that, the Mishnah there says, that's halacha of Erev Tchumen that they were discussing. Now, chetzia, half of the loaf, is a halacha that's required. The whole loaf is necessary for the halacha of Erev Tchumen. Now, half of that is lebeis hamenuga, is for when someone delays himself and stays in a house that has a nega, the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras, which is meaning a half of a kikar, which the halacha we're talking about, then his garments become tameh, as the pasuk says. V'oichel b'bayis, whoever eats in the house of that has a nega, yichabes begodav, he has to wash his clothing. So the Gemara explains that means to say not necessarily someone that eats, but someone that waits the amount of time it takes to eat, as explained in Teres Kayanim. And that's the halacha we're talking about over here, that the whole loaf is halacha of Erev Tchumen. Half of a loaf is a halacha that applies to someone that stays in the house that there's a nega, where then he's going to have to wash his clothing too. Now Rashi clarifies one thing, that although regarding the meals of the Erev, we just explained that according to Reb Shimon, there are 3 meals in the kikar. However, essentially, really, there's only 2 regular medium-sized meals in every kikar. Even Reb Shimon holds that. It's just that regarding the halachas of Erev, that then we went in the more lenient and more narrow interpretation, and we said that we could really scrimp and say there's 3 meals worth in the loaf, which obviously is going to be a leniency and say that, okay, so you only need 2/3 of the loaf for the Erev Tchumen. Now, that's what we're saying over here, that the halacha is actually, there's something that eats achilas pras, a half of a loaf, which is the amount of time to eat 1 meal, although we said, what do you mean 1 meal? It's not 1 meal, which the halacha of the garments being tameh, 1 meal is going to be a third of the loaf. And I was saying, no, because really the halacha is that a half of a loaf is really 1 meal's worth, and that there's really only 2 meals worth. again, as Rashi explains, it's just regarding the halacha of Eruv Trumin that we were lenient and we said that, okay, we'll consider it like there's 3 meals worth because Suda Mitzumtzum, you can have a third of a loaf as a meal. But essentially, it's really 2 meals worth in the loaf. So therefore, half of that, which is 1 meal, which is the halacha of the Beis Hanega, is going to be measured with a half of a loaf of a bread. Meaning that's how long if you stayed there to eat that amount. Now, v'chatzi chetzia, half of the half, which is a quarter, that amount of a loaf of bread is lifsel esagviya, is the amount that invalidates a person that if someone eats a half of a pras, again, which is a quarter of a loaf of bread, of impure foods, then his body becomes puzzled from eating truma until he immerses himself in the mikvah, which is a rabbinic decree, which comes out to be 2 eggs worth. The reason being is because we're talking about a loaf of bread that 3 of them are equal a kav, which that's 8 eggs per loaf, because a kav is 24 eggs, which are dalad lugan. So it comes out that half of a loaf, is which a loaf is 8 eggs, as we just explained, because 8 times 3 is 24, that's how much is a kav, which is when you have 3 loaves. So a half of a loaf, again, which is 8, is going to come out to be 4 eggs, and chatzi chatzi, which is the halacha we're describing of someone that eats machal m'tmeim, is going to be 2 baits and 2 eggs worth. Now, more than that is chatzi chatzi chatzi, and half of the half of the half, which is 1/8 of a loaf of bread, is lekabel to masechmas halacha regarding that something could contract if it's a food item. The halachas of tumah of tumas eichel, which as we always know is the halacha of kebeya, the size of an egg, which based on this calculation comes out to 1 egg, as we said, because the thing before was 2, and if a half of that is going to be 1 egg's worth. Now that's the discussion of that mishnah in Masechet Zeiv. Now the Gemara concludes the question, mani. So who's the town of our mishnah? As the Gemara illustrates, if you're going to say the town of our mishnah is Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika, who according to him, as we just illustrated before, 2 meals worth is a half of a kav, and that's what's necessary for Erev Truman, then tamni, then 8 meals havyin, that comes out that the 2 kavin of wheat of the Mishnah comes out to 8 meals worth. Now the problem with that is that the woman needs 14 meals a week. She needs 2 meals a day. So how, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika, could we just give her 2 kavim of wheat, which is not going to cover her expenses of meals for the week? And the Erev Shimon, and if you're going to say that the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, who he said that there are 9 meals for every kav, as we explained, because there's 3 meals worth in every kikar, every loaf of bread. And 3 loaves equal 1 kav. According to him, Tamnei Srei Havin, that would come out, if you say that there's 2 kavim of wheat, would be 18 meals. And she only needs 14, so why would we mandate him to give 18 meals worth and not 14? So who's the Tana of a Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "La'olam Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika." Truthfully, we could say that the town of a Mishnah is Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika. But we have to keep in mind, as the Gemara will illustrate, that what Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika was talking about when he said that it's a loaf of bread that's purchased with a punyan, halakuach bepunyan. So therefore, the Gemara will answer as follows: "Ukadam Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, that seimen shlish lechenveni, that you have to consider that the storekeeper, he doesn't grow the grain." He doesn't grow the wheat. He purchases from the wholesaler. Now, he has to go ahead and make a markup of 50% because he has to make some income too. So that means to say from the total amount, take away 1/3, which that 1/3 has to be the profit margin of the storekeeper, as Rashi explains. Rabbi Yechonon did not estimate the halacha of the Erev Truman with a half a kav. Although, based on the calculation, we said that should be a half a kav. It's not true. He was saying that if you're purchasing a loaf of bread, that costs a punyan from the storekeeper. Now, the thing is, the storekeeper himself, he purchased, which was the equivalent of the other half of Rabbi Yechon ben Mareika's statement, he purchased the 4 soin of chitin, of wheat, with a sela. Now, but that doesn't get passed on to the consumer, because he has to make at least 1/3 of the profit for all the effort that he's putting into it. So it comes out that the half of a kav is actually 3 meals worth. 2 of those meals is what he sells for the punyan that he gets from the consumer. And it's the 1/3 of that punyan, the 1/3 of that kikar, that he then profits. And therefore, what Rav Chizda explains in Rabbi Yechonon ben Mareika is that actually the one who's doing the Erev Truman is not even a chatzikav. It's minus 1/3 of that he's getting for that punyan which is what the Erev Terumin is. So therefore the Gemara says, Hochinami, same thing applies to the halacha of our Mishnah. So I see Tilsa Shadia Layu. So now we take that third and we actually add it to the sum total. Because here we're not talking about any middleman. There's no storekeeper involved over here. Here he's giving her 2 kavim of wheat, of flour. She can go ahead and process it herself. She has time. She could go ahead and work on it. Now, if we add the third that usually gets taken away, which again is a third what's called malavar from the total amount. So instead of it being, as we thought, 8, it's going to be 8 meals worth. It's actually going to be 12 meals worth because you have that third, which is the 50% increase, which is what ends up coming down to the consumer, which is less than a half a kav. It's you add that more, which is going to be that the woman's going to be getting. And therefore, she's going to be getting, there's 2 meals worth in less than a half a kav. But when you have 2 kavim, is you're going to actually have 12 meals worth. Now, on that, the Gemara still asks. Akati. Still fine, it's going to be more, but the 2 kavim in the Mishnah, ultimately, it's only tartes rehavim. It's only 12 meals worth. How does that help? She needs 14 meals worth. So the Gemara answers, Oichelus imoy leili Shabbos. As we learned in the Mishnah, Friday night she eats with him, so she doesn't eat for Shabbos. So the Gemara first of all asks, that's only good according to the one that says, which is the Machlokes later on, that it literally means achila mamash. It means that she eats with him Friday night. But according to the one that interprets as a euphemism, that eating really is a reference to her having beer with him. Tashmish amita, Michael, man, what are you going to say? She really doesn't eat with him. She needs Shabbos food. But moreover, so she eats with him Friday night, but not Shabbos day. So ultimately, she's only having 13 meals. She still needs 14. So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, could the Amar of Chizda, like there's other statement of Rav Chizda, that he says, actually, tsemehen mechtzel chemini. Actually, the consumer is really getting much less than we thought. That there's a 100% increase from the store owner to the consumer. That is, he makes half of it has to be, which is from the total, which that is, there's a 100% increase from what he pays to the wholesaler that he then goes and passes on to the consumer. And therefore, there's that much less, obviously, according to that interpretation of the requirement of the Erev Truman, which is that much less if he's giving a punyan, how much is he getting for 2 meals worth? So now, therefore the Gemara says, Hachanam, it's the same thing you can apply to the Allah of our Mishnah, Asya Palga B'Shodi Alayu, so then we could actually add another half, and meaning we could double the amount that we thought it is, and we increase on that, so what we thought was only going to be 8 meals worth, no, it's only 8 meals worth if you consider the halacha of Erev Truman, which is what you buy with a punyan, which is not a half a kav. It should be a half a kav. But since you're actually going to get a quarter of a kav, because half of it is actually the profit margin of the retailer. So therefore, actually, instead of being 8 meals worth, actually 2 kav is going to be 16 meals worth. Now, before the Gemara asked the question that still not 14, the Gemara first asked, but kash Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda. There are 2 contradictory statements of Rav Chizda interpreting this halacha, that on the one hand he says there's half increase of the chenveni, which literally means 100% increase, and then we have the other interpretation which says that there's a shlish, which is only a third, which is a 50% increase. So which one is it? That, yes, obviously the one of 100% increase works for us as we're interpreting the Mishnah, but which one is it? So the Gemara says, loikash, it's not a contradiction actually. Ha, the one that says that it has a 50% increase, which is what we call a shlish over here, is ba'asr di havitziv. It's talking about in the place where someone that sells the wheat to the storekeeper to make bread out of it and for him to then pass on to the consumers to sell in the marketplace. So it's talking about a place where he gives to the storekeeper firewood to bake with. So there is where the storekeeper's profit margin only has to be a third. Ha, but the place where he makes 100% increase, which is what we call lemechtza, which is the one that we're going with lemaskana to explain if Rabbi Yechim Rik is the town of our Mishnah, is ba'asu deloye b'tzivi, where the wholesaler doesn't give him firewood, and therefore then the storekeeper actually holds on to half the amount, meaning he gives 100% increase that he diminishes from what should literally be passed on to the consumer to make it more expensive, because not only does he have to have now for his effort and to make some money out of what he's working on, he also has to cover the expenses of the firewood. So that takes care of that contradiction. But the Gemara returns, but Ihach Shitzer Havin, ultimately, it's going to be 16 meals. And why does she deserve 16 meals when there's only 7 days a week and there's 2 meals eaten every day? So the Gemara wonders, come on, so who are you going to say that the Tana is like, besides being like Rebbe Chaim Vareka, that Reb Chidka, that the Tana of our Mishnah anonymously says that Reb Chidka, that we have to eat four meals every Shabbos, not what we know as Shalosh Sudas L'Shabbos, and that's why it comes out to be 16? Nothing more says, no, Phil Tim Rabbanan, you could even say it's going like the Rabbanan, who say we only eat Shalosh Sudas every week. So it comes out for a total of really 15 meals a week. But however, she needs 16 meals, which is what the calculation would come out according to Rabbi Yochanan Bereka, who, although we thought it's a half a kav of the Erev Tchumen, it comes out really it's only a quarter of a kav. And if you multiply that by the amount of how much that she saves by not going through a storekeeper when he gives her two kav of flour itself, comes out to 16 meals worth, that although you only need 15, but she needs that extra meals worth for guests that come and visit her, and therefore only for what she eats, is 15, but for guests, that's why he has to give her these two kavim of wheat in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Hash das lachi, now that you have come to this explanation of that, the discrepancy could be explained with archi parchi, with guests, so now Philotem Reb Shimon, we could even say that in the town of a Mishnah, like Reb Shimon, who we said according to the calculation before comes out that his cheshbon of two kavim will come out to actually 18 meals worth. Now, if Rabbanan, if the Tana of our Mishnah, who again would be going like Reb Shimon, holds like the Rabbanan, that on Shabbos we only eat three meals. So we would say that Dal Talas, L'Archei Parchi, although she only needs 15, and there's an extra three, so the three is for guests that come. And if Reb Chidke, the Tana of our Mishnah was like Reb Shimon and Reb Chidke, then Dal Tarti, L'Archei Parchi, then you would only need two for guests, and therefore it wouldn't be so difficult to say like Reb Shimon that it comes out to 18, although you need only 15 or 16, depending on who you hold like, the extra two or three is for what's called archi parchi, for guests that come along. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that Amr B'Yesi said that Le'pasik Sarin V'chulu, that the only one that's made a husband have to give a barley to the wife was Rabbi Shmuel, who, because he lived near Edom. So the Gemara wonders, Adam, who the achlin sarim? What do you mean? Only in Edom do they eat barley? Pekuli amaloy achli, and the whole world they don't eat barley in their chal. Like what's going on? Why only Rabbi Shmuel would require that? So I think I explains the hachim. What Rabbi Yisu was saying was lepasik sarim kiflein bechitin. No one would require the husband to give double the amount of barley as wheat, because the town of the Mishnah was saying two kavim for wheat and four kavim of barley. That Rabbi Yisi says that's El Rabbi Shmuel. That's only like Rabbi Shmuel show you some achleidim because he was near Edom. Because the barley in Edom was of poor inferior quality, so therefore you needed to have a large amount to get what you would get for something else, and that's why he says that barley had to be double the amount of chit. What Rabbi Yisi was saying was, but if you live in somewhere else where the barley is not of inferior quality, then the amount of barley wouldn't have to be that much as double the amount as chit.